Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Take your copy of God's Word, go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Wisconsin columnist Doug Larson, he once wrote this. He said, if people concentrated on really important things in life, there'd be a shortage of fishing poles. Can I get an amen? Man, how many of you guys love fishing out there? Anybody real serious about fishermen? All right. Absolutely, right? Fishing's a lot of fun, especially if you're catching. And we're blessed here in Kentucky, right? There are a lot of really good fishing spots close by. I mean, right here in our own backyard, you got Barren River Lake, you got Barren River, you got Drake's Creek. All sorts of fishing holes, but if you're gonna catch some specific fish, you're going for the big ones. There are some places right here in Kentucky where you need to go, all right? So, for instance, if you're looking to catch a catfish like this big bad boy right here, could you imagine catching a fish like that? Right? The experts tell us then that you need to go just west of Hopkinsville to Lake Barkley. Lake Barkley. But if you're looking to catch a catfish, a largemouth bass, these are largemouth bass, if you're looking to catch something like that, look at those two hogs, man. Then you need to go just a little further west to Kentucky Lake. How about a mess of crappie? I mean, there's nothing funner than getting into a mess of crappie. And so they say if you want to catch crappie, then you need to go up around Campbellsville to Green River Lake. That's exactly where those were caught. And every picture you're going to see here, these fish were caught in the lake or the river that I'm talking about here. So there's a mess of crappie from Green River Lake. Maybe it's hybrid bass like this one right here. Man, isn't that beautiful? Look at that thing. Could you imagine catching something like that? Well, they say then if that's your jam, then head to just north of Litchfield to Rough River Lake. Or maybe you like to try your hand at something different, like catching walleye like this one. I've never caught a walleye. Never. But it'd be really cool to catch. Then they say you need to head east of Hazard to Carr Creek Lake. Or maybe you're up for some adventure, right? Like, you don't want just a regular fish. You want a fish with some teeth. Right, you want a big old fish with some teeth, then you need to catch something like this. That's a muskie. Then you need to head to Moorhead, just south of Moorhead, to Cave Run Lake for some muskie fishing. And those things, they have like teeth like dogs. Anybody here ever caught a muskie? No? Yeah? No? We had one in the first service who had. So they're tough to catch, they say. My son told me that muskie are the fish of 1,000 casts. Right, but right there at Cave Run Lake is not just the best musky fishing in Kentucky. They say it's some of the best musky fishing in America. Or maybe you want to try something completely different, and you could try your hand at fly fishing and go after some gorgeous rainbow trout. Isn't that pretty? Like that one right there? Then just head over to Burkesville and float the Cumberland River. I mean, guys, looking at all those fish there, could you imagine how exciting it would be to catch those? I mean, I catch one this long, and I'm loving it, but could you imagine hauling in one of those great big fish? All of those are caught right here in the beautiful bluegrass state of Kentucky. But as awesome as catching fish is, you and I need to understand this morning that God has called us to fish for something even more exciting, even more immeasurably valuable than fish kind. God has called you and me to fish for mankind. Jesus called us as his disciples, to fish for men, to be fishers of men. And the very best spot for us to do that is right here in our community. God has placed us here, and he wants us to fish for men right here. And so today we're going to begin a 3-week preaching emphasis to help us take the gospel to every home. And the title of today's message is, You Can't Catch Them From the Couch. As you're thinking about being a fisher of men, you can't catch them from the couch. So I want to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Guys, as you stand this morning, know this, the Bible that you hold in your hands or the Bible that you see on the screen is the very Word of God. This is God speaking to us. What it says is absolute truth. All right, so here we go. Mark chapter 1, beginning in the 14th verse. The Bible says, Now after John, that's John the Baptist, was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Let's go to God. Father, as we finish up the reading of your word this morning, and the text that we're going to think on, the text I'm going to preach, God, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts today. You'd meet us where we are, Lord. God, you tell us here that you will make us become fishers of men. So you know where we are, Lord. You know how good we are and how faithful we are at fishing for men. And so God, meet us here today. And Father, we have to recognize that there are men, women, boys, and girls right here in this service today who have never turned and trusted Christ. Today, we're fishing for them too. Lord, they are sinners in need of a Savior. And I pray that today would be the day they would turn from sin and trust in Jesus and be saved. Father, work in our midst, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, well, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat if you would there. So as we think about this text here, here's today's takeaway. Take the gospel to every home because Jesus' followers fish. Let me say that again. Take the gospel to every home because Jesus' followers fish. To be a follower of Jesus is to be a fisher of men. It's what we are to be as Christians. It's what we're to become as Christians. And it's the natural result, the Bible says here, of following Jesus. Look at verse 17. It's the natural result of following Jesus. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." You say, "But it doesn't come natural to me." It's natural when you follow Jesus, right? As followers of Jesus. So you may not be built this way. You may not be shaped this way, right? We know there are people who can talk to a wall and win it to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for some of us, they just have the gift of evangelism. But every one of us can be made fishers of men because the natural result of following Jesus is to become a fisher of men. When you follow Jesus, you just do what Jesus did and do what Jesus does. And what did Jesus do? Well, he fished for men. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to gather all who would bite the lure of the gospel of Jesus Christ, pulling them to the shores of heaven. And so Jesus fished. Therefore, we must fish as well. Jesus' followers fish. And ultimately, guys, this gospel to every home, that's what this is about. This is a fishing expedition. I know, again, you've heard me talk about this for a month, but just to make sure we're all on the same page, what is this? I think this is really cool, guys. It's a motivation for us to think about this for a moment. Gospel to every home is not just an Eastwood thing. This is a Kentucky Baptist initiative that all across our state, all across the bluegrass, churches are cooperating together to go to every single home in the state of Kentucky. You know how many homes that is? That's 1.75 million homes. Dude, this is an audacious goal, right? It takes a big work of the people of God to make this happen. And God has given us here at South Campus 1,000 of those homes. We have been blessed to be given 1,000 homes to strategically go out and reach. And our East Campus has been given 1,300 homes to go and reach right around their church field. And so together, guys, Eastwood is going to reach 2,300 homes with gospel gift bags. And so we're going to go fishing for men. We should do this as individuals, but here's the cool thing. We're going to do it as a group. July 25th, we're going to go fishing for men as a group. So take the gospel to every home because Jesus followers fish. And so as we think about the fact that that's true, that Jesus followers fish, well, I want to share with you four principles from our text about fishing for men. Here's the first principle to help us with this, and it's this: fish so that you might catch. Fish so that you might catch. Now, fishing for fish and fishing for men, they are different, right? We're not going to get our rod and reels and line and lures and all that stuff and throw it out there and reel it in and all that. So it's different physically. But in terms of what we're doing, they have a lot of things in common. One of which is this, is that you can't catch them from the couch. I've never in my life caught a bass or a bluegill or a catfish or a sunfish from my living room couch. That's not where the fish are, is it? Right? We got to go where they go. They don't come to us. We go to them. And I want you to notice in the text here. Notice in the text where Jesus, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John were. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea. Now skip down to verse 19. And going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. So where were they? Well, they were at the Sea of Galilee, which is actually, when we hear the word sea, we think of a big salt water. Like we think of the ocean, we think of the Gulf of Mexico or whatever, right? We think of the Mediterranean Sea. But this is not a saltwater body. It is a huge freshwater lake. It's also called the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Chinnereth, or Lake Gennesaret. It's got all these different names in the Bible. But whatever you call it, it's really a big, huge freshwater body. Its width, if we were to just get in our minds, like how big is this Sea of Galilee? Well, it would be as wide as from here at Eastwood South Campus all the way to Covington Woods Park in Bowling Green. That's how wide it would be. How long is it? That's like 8 miles, by the way, from here to Covington Woods Park. Or how long is it? How tall is it? Well, if it would go from here to Allen County Scottsville High School, which is like 13 miles away. That's how big and wide, this Sea of Galilee is. And so it looked like an ocean to them. They're looking out across it. But why were they there? Guys, it's simple. That's because that's where the fish were. You can't catch them from the couch. And so if you want to catch fish, you got to go where they are. And then you have to actually engage in the act of fishing. The text says that Andrew and Simon were casting their nets. That's how they did it in those days, right? They didn't have a fishing pole. They fished with nets. The Bible says here that James and John were repairing their nets, implying that they had just finished up fishing. They weren't just out for a stroll or a row on the lake. They were engaged in the hard work of fishing. And so you got to go where the fish are. And you got to actually fish. If you're going to catch anything, fish so that you might catch. And it's the same way with people. Listen, they're not going to come knocking on your door. Sir, what must I do to be saved? That's not going to happen, right? I'm not saying it'll never happen, but they're not going to come knocking on your door asking you how they can be saved. You got to go knocking on their door. If we're going to fish for men, we got to go where they are. And then I have to actually engage in the act of fishing. As we do this gospel at every home, we're not just out taking a stroll through the community. Right, we're not just admiring the landscape. We're not just meeting people so that we can say, hey, I'm a neighbor and you're a neighbor and all those things. It's great to be a neighbor. We're actually there to engage people with the good news of Jesus Christ, to catch men and women and boys and girls for the glory of King Jesus. I have to fish so that I might catch. That's why Jesus said in the Great Commission. Right, Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's Matthew's version of the Great Commission. Mark's is this way, Mark 16, 15. Go, he said, into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. You see movement here. You're not just setting, you're going. How about the parable of the great banquet? The parable of the great banquet there in Luke 14. Where the master in that parable represents God the Father. And this is one of the most motivating passages about going out and reaching people for Christ that's in the Bible. Luke 14, 21 through 23, this is the master talking, but it's representing God. He says, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you've commanded has been done, and still there's room. And the master said to the servant, go to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. I love that passage of scripture. If you're going to catch fish, you got to go where they are. That's why, guys, we're going to go to every home in this community. We're going to fish so that we might catch, which brings us to the second principle for fishing for men. And it's this, is that fish with the gospel. Fish with the gospel. Now, when we fish for fish, what do we fish with? Well, in order to catch fish, you got to use a lure, something that attracts them, that draws them. And depending on what you're fishing for, you might use minnows or worms, or maybe grasshoppers or crickets, or maybe you want to go artificial. You know, as far as that goes, maybe you're going to get a topwater or a plug or a jig or a spinner or a spoon, some kind of plastic critter, maybe a fly. But whatever you use, there has to be something that attracts that fish to your line. And what is that when it comes to fishing for men? Well, he tells us right here in the text, it's the gospel itself. That's what's going to attract people. That's what's going to bring people to Jesus. We're not out there hawking Eastwood Baptist Church. We're not out here hawking a children's program or adult Bible study or all these things or the basketball season that we'll do here. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we can say, hey man, this is a great church. We want you to come. That's not what's going to attract them. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that's going to attract them. That's what Jesus was fishing with. Look at the text here. Look at verse 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, again, that's John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, gospel, just plain and simple, means good news. If we're going to translate it just straight into English, it's good news, all right? And the good news is good news because there's bad news, right? The good news is that God the Father has lovingly sent his Son to save the world from our sins by living, dying, and raising again to life. The good news is summarized in John 3:16, which Jesus said, and you know very well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so there's that good news, and it's so attractive, but it's really attractive to those who understand that there's bad news, right? That they understand the condition that they're actually in. The good news because of the reality of bad news. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. No one is righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:11. All are by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. All lawbreakers will be thrown into the fiery furnace of hell where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever, Matthew 13:41 and 42. We are unable to save ourselves, Romans 5:6. All of that, man, that's bad. That's bad news. But that's what makes the gospel good news, so good. And when people, by the power of the Holy Spirit, get a true perspective of their predicament, the good news is going to attract them. Think about this, guys. It offers them life over death, joy over sorrow, blessing over cursing, pleasure over pain, hope over gloom, light over darkness. Think about that, guys. Isn't that what you want? Wouldn't you rather have those things? Wouldn't you rather have joy and life and light and all of these things? So as we go home to home, we're going to fish with the gospel. Now you might say, man, Ben, that sounds so intimidating. I don't think I can do that. You mean I've got to go tell them that they're a sinner? And they're going to hell, and that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Well, if the Lord opens the door for you to say all that, then yeah, you better do what God tells you to say, right? You better say it. But the primary way, and I just want to put you at ease for a moment. We're not looking for you to go out there and get into an encounter, right? Where you're trying to argue with folks and trying to convert them in that way, and we're not looking for that. If God provides that for you, then you better walk through that door, right, as far as it goes. But the primary way that we're going to get the gospel to people in homes, in the homes that we visit through gospel to every home, is through gospel gift bags that we will be delivering. A bag just like these. These are the bags, actually, that we'll be delivering. Pastor Greg and several of our senior adult folks have stuffed all of these. And you're going to get to go and take this back. So in one sense, guys, you're just delivering mail, right? I mean, that's what you're delivering a gift to somebody. And in this gift bag, you know, as you go up there, in this gift bag, you're going to have some very, very simple things, right, that are going to share the gospel with them. I just want to share with you what's going to be in the bag so that you know what you're getting. All right, one is you're going to get this. They're going to get this, which is a QR code card. They're going to take their phone out. They're going to take their camera, and that's going to send them to a YouTube video where they're going to get to hear me share with them, what is this all about? Why did somebody just come drop a gift bag off at my door? Some people may not be home when you bring the bag by, and you're just going to leave it on their door. And so this will explain what the bag's for. And in that video there, I'm going to explain just briefly the good news of Jesus Christ, all right? So that's going to be in there. And then a big, big part of what this is to help them understand fully that they are indeed a sinner. They're made by God for a relationship with Him, but they're a sinner separated from God, and that Jesus Christ is the only way for them to be reconciled to God is this gospel tract. This is going to be in every bag here, and it's really a great tract put out by Campus Crusade or Crew, and it's going to help people to understand fully what we're talking about here. All right, so this is really going to share the gospel in depth with them. But then they're also going to get this card right here, which is going to share the gospel in summary. It's sort of a simple gospel presentation, very brief, but nevertheless powerful, impactful. This is put out by the Kentucky Baptist Convention. And here's the neat thing with this part that's going to be in the gift bag that you're going to be handing out, is that it's got a toll-free number for them to call 24 hours a day if they have questions, if they want to know more about what they've heard. They can call and talk to somebody, all right, with this number right here. So they're going to get that. Not only that, they're going to get this DVD here. Every bag is going to have this DVD, which has three different Jesus movies on it. If you ever heard of the Jesus film, this is on here, right? This film has been used across the world to win thousands, if not millions, to Jesus. All right, and so they're going to get that. This actually has three different movies on it in English, Spanish, French, Arabic, Mandarin, Hindi, Urdu, and Vietnamese. I mean, I think that probably covers it, right, as far as around here, right? And so as far as it goes, they're going to get that and get a chance to watch that. And, of course, there's our streaming options on there as well. And then finally in the bag, they're going to get a piece just about Eastwood South Campus so that they know who you represent, so that they know how they can connect with us. Because, again, you may come into contact with people who are already Christians, but they don't have a church home. And so maybe you're not there to connect them to Jesus, but you're there to connect them to church. And maybe you're there to connect them to Jesus, and if they get connected to Jesus, they need to get connected to a church. And so that's what's going to be in that gospel gift bag. You say, Ben, I don't think I can go and preach the fullness of the gospel. I'm not a preacher. Can you hand them a bag? I think everybody can hand them a bag. Hi, my name is Ben. I'm from Eastwood Baptist Church. We're out in the community today passing out gift bags to folks here in the community, and we would love to give you one. Can I leave this with you? That's it. That's it. That's the conversation. Now, again, if God opens the door to say more, then say more. But that's all we're asking. That's all we're asking you to do in this regard, because this is where they're going to hear the fullness of the gospel. And so we're going to take gospel gift bags. Some people are going to reject it. Some people are going to take it and they're going to throw it in the trash. Some are going to take it, but they're going to actually read it. And they may not make a decision for Christ now. They may not come to Christ now, but it's going to be a seed planted. And some of them are going to take that bag. They're going to read it and they're going to turn from sin and trust in Jesus. That's what's going to happen, guys. Listen, when you go fishing, you don't catch all the fish, do you? No, you don't catch them all, but you catch some. And that's what we're aiming at here. We will catch some. And so we're going to go fishing with the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. The third principle for fishing for men is to fish with a friend. It's always better with a buddy, isn't it? Right, when you go fishing, it's always better to have a buddy, somebody to help you with the equipment and to help you with the boat, somebody to talk to and tell stories. Like the old saying goes, early to bed, early to rise, fish all day, and tell a bunch of lies. That's what you do as a fisherman, right? It's so good to have a buddy there to talk with, or actually to have a buddy there to verify that the fish you caught was that long, right? You got somebody who's there to verify how big that fish was you caught. Or maybe somebody there to share tackle with. Think about that for a moment. Right, man, that one's really working. That lures, that red spinner, is this really working today? And you don't have one, but your buddy's got three of them. He'll share with you. It's good to have a buddy in that regard. It's also good if you ever get in a bad situation. Right, when you're fishing, it's good to have a buddy if you ever get in a bad situation. I was thinking this week as I was thinking about this, of some of the fishing tragedies that we've had right here in our community over the last few years, and just some sad stories that are heartbreaking, but people went out fishing by themselves and didn't come back. They got in a bad situation and they didn't come back. And I'm not saying they did anything wrong, because they didn't. They just were in an accident. But we just have to wonder, I just have to wonder, what if, could the tragedy have been averted if they would have had a buddy with them? And so fishing with a buddy is safer. And you also have somebody to encourage you. It's important to have a fishing buddy when you go fishing for fish, but it's important when we go fishing for men as well to have that fishing buddy. That's why when we take the gospel to every home, we are not sending you out by yourself. I know that would be really intimidating, right? You're just going to go knock on doors by yourself and pass these things out. No, right? We're going to send you out with a buddy, two-person teams, all right? That buddy may be your spouse. It may be your fiance. It may be your older child or a person from your small group. Maybe it's a person, just a friend here at church. For instance, Christy and I, we're going to team up with our two older boys, right? Christy's going to team up with my son, Zach, our son, Zach. I'm going to team up with my son, Eli, and we'll probably have a couple kids, other kids apiece and all that, all right? So you may have more than two. I saw somebody signed up and said, just me and the kids. Right? So there's going to be a bunch of them in that group. And praise God for that. But we're going to give you at least, we're going to expect you to have at least one buddy going with you, guys. And this is the wise way to go. But it's not only wise, it's also the biblical precedent for going out. Now, it's not a biblical command, but it is a biblical precedent. And I find it interesting here in our text even. When Jesus calls them to be fishers of men, even here in this text, how did he call them? He called them in groups of two-man teams, doesn't he? Right? In fact, they were fishing brothers. Look at Mark 16 through 18 again. Mark 1, 16 through 18. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to him, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Just going on into verse 19 and going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were there in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. They were called to be fishers of men with a fishing buddy. Now, that's not how it happened for all the disciples, all the apostles, but that's how it happened with these guys. And that's also how we see Jesus send people out. For instance, we see it with the 12 apostles themselves, right? Mark 6. Mark 6 says, Mark 6, verse 7 says, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over clean spirits. Again, notice they went out two by two, paired up with a fishing buddy. And then see it again there in that larger group of Jesus followers in Luke 10. Verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. 72 people were sent out. Now, I'm not a math major. 72 divided by 2 is what? 36, that's right. 72 divided by 2 is 36. So he sent out 36 teams. And here's what the interesting thing is, why I bring this up. That's about how many teams we need to reach 1,000 homes here, right here in Alvinton. And as of last night, just being real with you guys, we only had 12 signed up. We need around 36 teams, but we only had 12 signed up. Now, I've heard a report that during small groups, a lot of people signed up, and praise God for that. But if you've not signed up yet, we need you. We need you to do this. Sign up today. So there's a sign-up sheet right out there at Guest Information if you've not done that yet, all right? Or you can go to our website, eastwoodbc.org, and you can click on events, and there you can find a link to sign up digitally. Now, you might be thinking, now, Ben, I really want to do this, but July 25th just is not a good day for me. And here's what I want to say to you. sign up anyway. You don't have to do it on July 25th. If that day does just not work for your family, sign up. We'll reserve you a group of homes, and you can go do it on the day that works for your team, all right? We're not worried so much that you do it on July 25th, but we are concerned that every home is reached. Or you might be thinking this, Ben, I don't have a teammate. I don't have a partner. I don't have a fishing buddy to go with me. And again, what do I say to you? Sign up anyway, and we will find you a fishing buddy. We will. We'll find you. There'll be somebody else that's going to need a buddy too, all right? Nobody has to do this alone. In fact, nobody should do this alone. Fish with a friend. And the final principle that we see for fishing here, when we're going fishing for men, is to fish local. Fish local, man. You don't have to go far to go fishing around here. Dude, we already talked about that. When I was growing up, our two favorite fishing holes were less than 5 miles away from 122 Iowa Church Road. Less than 5 miles away, whether it was Terry Petit's pond on Lodge Hall Road or Ron Wolf's pond over on Lake Road, whichever one it was. These were great little fishing holes for catching fish. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm just going to go ahead and confess it. My brother always caught more than me. He used to make me mad enough to die. I was so I can remember times just crying and going to the truck. He always caught more than me. Still does. But we enjoyed those fishing holes, and they were right down the road. And if we got tired and bored of those ponds, then we had Shanty Hollow Lake, and we had Green River right down the road from us if we wanted a different kind of challenge. But as we take the gospel to every home, we don't have to go far. Same thing with fishing, right? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place to go far. There is, right? I mean, I've shared the gospel in China. I've shared the gospel in Honduras and England and Ireland. I've shared the gospel in Mexico. Right? My wife's been to Peru and Chile and all these other places, right? The Netherlands. I mean, we've preached around the world. We've shared the gospel around the world. But the primary mission field that God has called us to is right here. He's called us to fish local. It's not primarily over there. It's primarily here. And we see this right here in the text. Jesus himself, right? We're going to be followers of Jesus here, right? Jesus' followers fish. And where did Jesus fish? He fished local. Our text tells us that Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John by the Sea of Galilee. But where exactly? I mean, it's a really big lake. Where exactly? Well, most likely it was near the city of Capernaum, which is only about 30 miles or so from where Nazareth is, where Jesus grew up. He didn't travel far, like 30 miles to fish for these guys. In fact, Justin Taylor with the Gospel Coalition, he observed this. This is amazing to think about. Even in the New Testament era, he writes, when the world was far more interconnected under the vast Roman Empire, nearly all of the recorded events in Jesus' life took place within about 65 miles of his hometown of Nazareth, a distance that could be traversed by foot in 3 or 4 days. So Jesus never went that far away. He always fished local. Guys, and that's where we're sending you. That's where we're going to go together. We're sending you out into our primary mission field, which is right outside these doors. Every home that we're going to be sending you to is within a 5-mile radius of this church building. And so we're sending you to our neighbors. We're sending you to your local fishing hole, and that's the best place to fish. So, beloved, as we think about taking the gospel to every home because Jesus' followers fish, I just want to ask you this morning, are you ready to go fishing? Are you ready to go fishing? Listen, I don't know how many fish we'll catch. We'll leave that up to God, right? Our job is to go fish. And if we'll be faithful to fish, God will bring the catch. I want to share one more story with you guys this morning. After Jesus lived, died, and rose again, Peter, James, and John along with four other disciples. They went fishing for fish. Right there in the Sea of Galilee, the same place where Jesus called them here in Mark 1 to become fishers of men. And here's what we read in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Again, that's the Sea of Galilee. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was him. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. And other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Eastwood, I love this story because it reminds me that if we will be faithful to fish, God is able to bless us in catching. So let's take the gospel to every home. You can't catch them from the couch. Here's my final prayer as the praise team comes. May you be faithful in fishing, and may God bless you in catching.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.